Hello and welcome to episode 18 of our college football podcast, The Fifth Quarter. This is your host, John Shomo. In this edition, we will review the one game that mattered over the last week, week 16, if you will, of the college football season, Army-Navy at Landover, Maryland. We'll talk about some of the other issues in the sport, like the transfer portal and maybe reseeding teams after the first round of the playoff. And then we will get into it. We will preview and make my picks on the four playoff games, one Friday night and three Saturday, upcoming as we record. We're recording on Wednesday evening. The first game is Friday evening, the 20th of December, and the other three are Saturday, the 21st. So let's get started. Nothing like Army-Navy. It is so unique. It's the most unique thing in our sport. And I try not to miss it every year. It was a ritual at our house growing up. As I mentioned last week, my father served in the U.S. Navy during World War II, and he would watch that game. He would watch a lot of football games, but he would watch that game like no other and cheer on the middies in those games, and Roger Staubach and Joe Bellino and guys like that. Joe Bellino was before my time, really. But anyway, it's a big game. We were traveling on Saturday, but we got to our destination in Chicago and watched the second half of Army-Navy. And Navy got to sing second this year for the first time in a few years, first time since 2019. Navy 31, Army 13. H. Brian Newberry gets his first win and his second try in the big rivalry. Quarterback Blake Horvath of Navy, a Hilliard Darby graduate, by the way, for those of you in the Columbus area. He's a junior. He'll be back next year. Had a wonderful game, throwing sparingly but effectively and running the ball and just kind of engineering the Navy offense to 31 points, which is a lot in that battle. I think that probably went over, I'm guessing. But it was nice personally. It was nice to see Navy pull that one out and sing second, that's for sure. Okay, other issues in the sport. Let's look at some of these things. Somebody suggested, I forget who it was, that playoff teams, maybe it was Joel Klatt, that playoff teams should be reseeded after the first playoff round. In other words, number 12 Clemson, if they were to win, upset Texas on Saturday, instead of slotting them in the four spot where they will go, you'd reseed and the worst seeded team would play the number one seed, which in this case would be Oregon, and so forth down the line. It's an interesting prospect. It's an interesting idea. The NFL does that, for instance. Not that I'm saying college football should copy everything the NFL does. I like its uniqueness. I like it a lot better than I do NFL football. But it's an interesting idea. It's something that they should probably at least consider, reseeding the teams. We'll see how it plays out. This first year or two really are kind of, let's see how it goes years before we maybe make some changes. I think they will make some changes. I'm pretty sure they'll add it to 14 teams, if not 16, eventually two or three years down the line in the playoff. And then we have a whole different set of arguments to make, don't we? Anyway, that's an interesting idea, and I should credit Joel Klatt for that. Now, what happened with Marshall? Is this a one-off, or is this indicative of where we're headed here if we don't change some rules? Marshall opted out as a team of the Independence Bowl after over 25 of their players entered the transfer portal. If you remember, we talked a little bit about this last week. Coach Charles Huff was working basically without a contract in the bowl game, in the playoff game, I should say, or the championship game, which he won. They won the Sun Belt championship game. Huff then the next day accepted the coaching job at Southern Mississippi. I mean, he didn't have a contract with Marshall, so he went somewhere where they wanted him, probably got a raise, etc. He was not re-upped by the university. I can't explain that. He was 32-20. He won the league title this year. I'm not involved. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but from this vantage point, that looks really weird. It appears that the players were pretty, as they say, PO'd, positively outraged, and over 25 of them went in the portal. They decided they didn't have enough between that and injuries, whatever the case may be, to field a representative team in the Independence Bowl. So they will be replaced by 70 miles up the road, Louisiana Tech from Ruston, Louisiana. They'll go down to Shreveport and play that game. That's troubling for the sport. and something needs to be done there. You can't control what universities and coaches and contract situations and things like that, but teams, whole teams opting out, it's just and entering the portal en masse. There needs to be some real adjustments, I think. The portal rules need a makeover. The current deadline to enter, if a player wants to enter the portal, they have to do so by December 28th, right in the middle of bowl season, right in the middle of the playoff. And that became an issue this week when Penn State's backup quarterback, Bo Prabula, who plays a lot, they have packages for him. He basically won them the Wisconsin game up in Madison early this year when Drew Aller got hurt. Good player. That'll hurt them. He declared for the portal because he wanted to transfer. The deadline came before they would play, if they win their first game, before they would play on New Year's. And he went to Coach Franklin and said, you know, this is my situation. And Coach Franklin sounds very sympathetic to the player in this instance, which is nice to hear. Aller is returning for a fourth year next year. So Prabula wants to probably go somewhere. He could start at a lot of schools for 2 years. He's got 2 years left. But boy, isn't it a shame that a team plays with this roster all season, and then when it comes to the biggest games of the year, and I'm not blaming Bo Prabula. He's doing what he thinks is best for his future. It sounds like he's very regretful that he has to make this decision now. And Coach Franklin sounded like he was in the player's corner here. It's just these rules, they have to really have some major adjustments. I'm not opposing player movement and players being able to go where they want to play and so forth. But the timing of this is really poor for the sport. Having a deadline on December 28th, right in the middle of everything big, the climax, if you will, of the season. That's got to change. Ohio State lost one of their quarterbacks to the portal this week, by the way. He probably would not have played. He did not play all year. Aaron Noland, who was a five-star recruit from Florida, entered the portal on Monday. He's going to play somewhere. He's going to probably be very good. Ohio State's got a five-star recruit coming in next year. They've got a quarterback already in line to start next year, Julian Sayin. Who redshirted this year, played a little bit. He's going to be the starter next year, barring injury and so forth. So that's our other issues in sport. This transfer portal stuff, the timing of it is really bad. Again, I have nothing against players looking out for their best interests, but when you get a situation like this one at Penn State, it really stinks for everybody. Okay, now moving on to the big weekend ahead. We have bowl games going on. There's one going on behind me on my television as I speak. I see the Western Kentucky Blob mascot behind me. The playoff games start on Friday, December 20th. A night game on Friday night in South Bend, Indiana, between the Indiana Hoosiers and the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Then Saturday, starting at noon, we have Southern Methodist against Penn State in Happy Valley. That's noon on TNT, by the way. At 4 o'clock Saturday, Clemson will play at Texas. That's also on TNT. And at 8 o'clock Saturday night at the Shoe in Columbus, it'll be the Tennessee Volunteers against the Ohio State Buckeyes. That one will be on ESPN ABC, as will the Friday night game. Now, I looked up some stuff here. Amazing, right? Here's how these playoff teams did against top 25 teams. We're only looking at the eight teams that play this week right now, okay? So, for instance, Indiana, the road team in the first game, they played one team that's currently ranked in the top 25. That was the Ohio State Buckeyes. That was next to last week of the regular season, and Ohio State won the game 38-15. So they were 0-1. Notre Dame played zero teams currently in the top 25. Zero, that is, my friends. Southern Methodist, SMU, played two teams currently in the top 25. They lost early in the season, a close one to BYU, and they lost on the last second 50-some-yard field goal in the ACC title game to Clemson. So very, very close competitive games, but they were 0-2. Penn State played three top 25 teams, currently ranked top 25 teams. They defeated the Fighting Illini of Illinois. I think it was 21-7. They lost at home to Ohio State, 20-13, and they lost to Oregon just a week or so ago in the Big Ten title game in Indianapolis. Also a competitive game. They were 1-2. Let's move to the next matchup, Clemson. They played three top 20, currently ranked top 25 teams, lost badly in week one to Georgia, lost at home in the final week of the regular season to their in-state rival, South Carolina, and they defeated SMU, as we said, in the ACC title game. So Clemson was 1-2. Texas played one team currently ranked in the top 25. That's the Georgia Bulldogs. Played them twice, once in the regular season, a 30-15 loss, and once the overtime loss in the SEC title game just a couple of weeks ago. So they played one team and lost to them twice. Okay, Tennessee played two. They defeated Alabama. They lost to Georgia. So they were 1-1 in games against top 25 teams. Ohio State played three, not just top 25 teams. They played three playoff teams during the regular season. Lost the one-pointer out at Oregon in October. Defeated Penn State, as we mentioned, and defeated Indiana, as we also mentioned. So Ohio State probably has the best resume against elite competition of any of the eight teams playing this weekend. Again, we're not talking about the four teams that got byes. We'll deal with that next week. But of the eight teams playing this weekend, the Buckeyes and Tennessee both are highly representative against really, really good teams. So maybe that's the matchup of the week. Speaking of which, we'll go to our picks now. We only had one game to pick this past week, and as I mentioned, for all the reasons I mentioned, I went with the midshipmen. They were 4.5-point underdogs. They win it by 18. That's a win, putting our season-long record at prognostication at 35 wins, 27 losses, and one tie. Not bad. Not bad at all. So we'll put that on the line a little bit here, and we'll make some picks for the four playoff games. Here we go. Friday night at 8, ABC ESPN, Indiana, 7.5-point underdogs at Notre Dame. I really like that half there. I'm going to take the Hoosiers to cover the 7.5. Saturday at noon in chilly Happy Valley, probably be a whiteout. Penn State will host SMU. Penn State is favored by 8.5 points. It's a noon game. It's a tough environment. It's cold weather. I like Penn State to roll in that one. 4 o'clock, TNT, Clemson at Texas. Texas is 11.5-point favorite in that game. I look for Clemson to keep it closer than that. I think double digits is too much there. So we'll take Clemson to cover the 11.5 in that one. Finally, at the Shoe on Saturday night, ABC ESPN, Tennessee at Ohio State, the Buckeyes are 7.5-point favorites. I've got to go with them, okay? They got to get their heads right. With their heads right, they're the best team in this weekend's game, certainly, in my opinion. They have to shake what happened to them against their rival and come out and play Ohio State football. If they do that, there's no stopping them. So, again, here are our picks. I'll take Indiana, 7.5-point underdog. I'll take Penn State, 8.5-point favorite. I'll take Clemson, 11.5-point underdog. And finally, we'll take the Buckeyes, giving Tennessee 7.5 at the Shoe on Saturday night. Can't wait. This will be exciting. The 12-team playoff. It wasn't my favorite choice a few years ago when they were talking about how to change the playoff. I was a big 8-team fan. I thought that was the best way. But we'll roll with 12. 12, I think, is better than 4 was. We'll see how it goes. It's exciting to think of all these games being played here, especially this weekend, four games on campus. I love it. That's where college football should be played, not in the Rose Bowl. but we'll see how it goes. Anyway, that's episode 18 of the Fifth Quarter. I'm John Shomo. Thanks a lot for listening. Hope your team comes out on top this weekend. Have a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week. See you later.